Homies, welcome to another epic episode of Blow Jam, the podcast that's all about rocking out. Some would call it a rock cast, but I wouldn't, and neither should you. Now, every week Ryan and I review podcasts, but fuck that noise, because today we have a special treat. I interviewed Tom Dowd, the illustrious guitarist for the band Floodlands, and also the Bro Bros. It was a privilege to have him in our closet and tell us about his musical endeavors. We actually talked about Tom in a previous Pod Smash episode. We went to go see the hockey game at the arena, and he was playing with the Bro Bros. So he was playing guitar with his left hand, drinking a pint of beer with his right hand, and rollerblading. He's the only guy I've ever seen to make rollerblading look cool. That's amazing. Tom plays guitar and he sings, well, screams, I should say. Fucking love screaming music, which is, that and heavy shit, and that's what Floodlands is all about. So enough of me just rambling on. Let's listen to Tom, and then we get to hear a Floodlands song, so stick around. I am super happy to be joined with an old pal that I played shows with way back many, many years ago. He's extremely talented. I fucking love his band, Floodlands. Dude sitting beside me, his name is Tom Dowd. Hey, welcome.
Hey, what's up, Delia? How you doing?
I'm doing great, especially since you're new on the show, you haven't been here, and you have, like, such a great past and present and future. Like, you're an amazing musician, but, like, you've also been in so many great bands.
Yeah, I made a fool of myself in front of a lot of people my age.
Yo, that kind of reminds me, and it wasn't making a fool of yourself, but it was you and me having, like, the exact same issue at a recent show where the lights were, like, blinding.
Oh, that was fucking awful. I mean, I was literally, like, I was an idiot, and I put my mic, like, right next to the stage light, and I'm thinking, all right, I go to sing the first lyric to the first song in the set, and I couldn't see my guitar at all. I'm like, all right, this is gonna be a fucking great show. You know, luckily there's only, like, a few people here, but in a way, I kind of wish there's more people there, because it's more fun when you fuck up in front of a lot of people.
You have to bomb every once in a while, but yeah, the fact that it was just straight musicians, it cushioned the blow.
Yeah. I mean, actually, this makes it worse in a way, or actually makes it better depending on your point of view.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, because it's like, oh, I'm bombing in front of people who are great.
I want to bomb in front of people that know I'm fucking up, you know, because then I get that effect, you know, or if I bomb in front of people that are, like, just watching my band, they don't really give a shit about it.
They
don't
fucking care. They might not even notice.
Yeah, they don't even notice, and that's boring. I want to bomb in front of people, yeah, you fucking suck, fuck you. And I'm like, yeah, fuck you too, you know? I live for that shit. I like the confrontation. That's why I play music. It's not about the music. It's about the confrontation. That's why I play it.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah. Actually, the band that we play with, Rival Town, they played a song specifically about bands that no matter how you perform, they'll be like, you did amazing after the show, and how fucking fake that is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's great when people walk up to you, yo, great show, man. And it's like, yeah, you know, how was that cigarette outside? You know, cool, man. That's awesome, you know.
Thanks.
I mean, I've done it before myself, though, so I'm fucking guilty as charged, you know.
Because you want to stay positive. I mean, it comes from a good place.
Yeah.
Even if it's fake.
I stay negative all the time. I'm a negative person. I hate life, you know. I hate being a musician. You know, I somehow, I'm just, you know, I've been trying to be a fucking, you know, financial advisor for years. And, like, you know, I have a guitar in my hands. It's just so distracting, you know. I mean, it's just fucking weird. I don't know what I'm doing on stage. Like, I might be resigning from Floodlands right now. I don't know, because you know what? None of my fucking bandmates showed up. I'm the only one representing them. So you know what? Our new drummer isn't, you know, that guy is Shouted Robots. I think he's our new drummer.
Honestly, and this might sound strange, but Floodlands is my favorite band to dance to.
That's awesome. I appreciate that.
It's got that bounce. It like, and I kind of know where it's going. Maybe I'm thrown for a loop, but at the same time, like, I just feel it. It's really bouncy. It's very comfortable.
Well, I mean, it's you know, we got a metronome behind the kit there. You know, he does well. I mean, he's
Whoa,
not here.
Whoa, that's hardcore.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, you know, we actually keep time as a band, which is kind of weird. You know, most bands I'm in, it's like all over the place at waivers. But, you know, Billy Gassick, I mean, he keeps having a drum kit. So I guess it's cool that he's not here tonight. You know, so we'll give him credit for that. But, I mean, he's a metronome behind the fucking kit, and it's easy to work with. And I bounce around a lot. I like to, you know, headbang and run around like a lunatic. And, you know, any music that makes me do that, it's fun to play. But I really appreciate you telling me that.
Well, actually, and that wasn't even a question. It was a statement.
It was a
but
statement.
Thanks for going on and on about, you could have just said thank you.
I could have said thank you, but I don't do that, you know? I mean, people say thank you and like yes and no, or just fucking boring fucking people, you know?
No.
That's the worst shit.
I welcome it. And honestly, I let this go off the rails because I had a simple question, which is, why did you guys come up with the name Floodlands?
Okay, so I'll say the first serious thing of the night. We wanted something that really kind of was vague in its intent and as far as presentation is concerned. And, you know, we're from Binghamton. We've had to flood in 2006, flood in 2011. And it's one of those things where we could relate to it as an area. And I'm obsessed with geography and weather. And I'm fascinated by Mother Nature because there's just nothing more powerful than Mother Nature. It's like, take the fucking lead singer Godsmack and Disturbed. Take those fuckers. You know, take on a fucking hurricane. Let's see how fucking tough you are, you motherfuckers. You know what I mean? But for real, I mean, the name comes from a place where we can do anything we want to. We talk about a lot of environmental issues. We talk about a lot of, you know, the fact that humanity is terrible for the planet and we're destroying the planet every day in multiple ways. And it's really disturbing and it's really frightening. And I feel that it needs to be talked about. And in a lot of ways, we use it as metaphors for other things as well. So I feel like Floodlands is a good way to encompass all that into one palette where we can basically do whatever we want and talk about whatever we want.
Yeah. I honestly feel like coastal people will migrate up here because it's higher ground. And even though it's like flood area, we still got high elevation. We would just have to adapt to that.
You know, there's a lot of room in the fucking hills. I mean, the river valleys are actually a very small area, square footage.
Precisely.
Or square mileage wise, not square footage. It's a lot of square footage, but
no, it's cool. Like, legit mad people will move up here. It's higher ground. Like, anytime that I look at any maps of sea levels and stuff, it's not really touched here.
Well, that's the thing, you know.
And plus, it's cheap, but they're going to drive up the prices.
Yeah, they will drive up the prices. Yeah. But not as much as it would be if you're living in fucking Hoboken right across the Hudson River from New York, you know.
You're dead.
Mm-hmm.
Well, are you?
What's that?
I don't know. Yeah. I was like, are you dead? Would you be dead at Hoboken?
Probably.
Safe?
I mean, you wouldn't be able to afford your apartment. You'd be in the streets, probably. You know, you'd be paying fucking $3,000 for a one-bedroom apartment, you know. Or you'd be the size of, like, a fucking, like, closet, basically, you know.
Damn.
Yeah.
Good times coming. Wow, that's crazy. That's a really good name.
Yeah,
I didn't think about it that deeply, but it really, like, it spans everything.
I mean, we're basically nerds, and, you know, we're interested in many different types of varieties of subjects. And, you know, I try not to, you know, be preachy. I hate preachy bands. I don't want to be in a band like that. I just want to write stuff that's, you know, phonetically intriguing for people to dive into in a way where they can relate to it, but at the same time, it means something to us, you know, where we don't have to stick to one subject. We can just vaguely write about whatever we want to. And at the same time, I feel like everything ties into your environment. Everything ties into where you live. Everything ties into where you're from. And everything ties into being on this planet. You know, that's one thing we all have in common. And I think that that's what makes it fun for us to write about. You know, we don't have a lack of subject matter when it comes to our material, and it's really fun and engaging, and we can take anywhere we want to, so it's a good time.
Man, that was pretty epic. Sorry, I was speechless for a hot second.
Oh shit, there
I
it
took
is.
A long gasp, but it gave me time to reset and think about my next question.
Yeah, what's up?
Which is, like, you've been playing for a really fucking long time, but what got you into playing guitar in the first place?
So, I discovered Nirvana when I was in sixth grade, And that's just my parents who bought the tape for me. And it was interesting because he had Green Day, it was popular at the time, Nirvana was popular at the time. And I had originally gotten Nirvana's Unplugged and Green Day's Dookie album. And I loved the Green album, but I didn't like the Nirvana album. But then for Easter, somehow I got Nirvana's Nevermind, and that blew my mind. That record, in a cheesy cliche way, just completely changed my life. I think I played Smells Like Teen Spirit and Drain You over and over and over again, to the point that my tape actually broke that very day on Easter. I had to go back to the wall, back when they had the fucking lifetime music guarantee.
The wall.
And get another copy of it like the next day, and I was like waiting and waiting. It felt like fucking 8 days until I was able to do that. But I don't know, I just would watch that, and it felt really powerful and unique. And, you know, I wasn't the type of kid that, I mean, I played hockey, but I wasn't a jock. It was boring to me. You know, I didn't want to do things like everybody else does. That's one of my big things, just living my life in general. I just like to do things differently and kind of find new pathways to things. And it was new to me at the time because I hated music as a kid. But anyway, I'm rambling a little bit. It was basically Nirvana, Kurt Cobain. Inspired me, and I got a guitar when I was in 8th grade after I got expelled from high school at the time, and I just kind of picked it up, and I never really stopped. So there you go. So that's what it is right there.
So Nirvana and Green Day, but not Green Day, Nirvana.
It was more Nirvana than Green Day. I just wanted something high energy and something that was kind of rebellious. I was like, I was a fucking shitty kid. I was a troublemaker, you know? I wasn't going to relate to fucking Oasis, that's for damn sure.
No, fuck that.
Yeah.
Oasis, I loved because I was like 8 or 9. I don't fucking know.
Well, you're 8 or 9, and of course, there's Wonderwall's everywhere. And you're just like, oh, Wonderwall, it's a sweet song. And I was like, you know, fuck Wonderwall.
I feel like I play in the key of Wonderwall all the time. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, actually, Fogelands just like covers Wonderwall. We're just playing different tunes.
Really?
You know, yeah. I mean, that's, you're here to hear first, you know, it's just all Wonderwall.
We're
an Oasis cover band, honestly, just letting you guys know that.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. All right, I gotta ask this.
What's up?
Which is, who writes the songs?
Basically, we all contribute. I write a lot of the lyrics, I write a lot of the guitar riffs, Nick does too. Jim contributes material, Bill has ideas. He doesn't really write as much, but he has really good ideas as far as how many times, you know, we should play a riff or play a part. But for the most part, I mean, it's me and Nick, you know, on a lot of stuff. Jim has a lot of really good ideas. He helps to kind of keep the band grounded because me and Nick will just go into outer space guitar-wise otherwise. So Jim kind of holds it down and keeps it very musical as far as approach is concerned. So I feel like everybody's really vital in that way.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, sometimes it's just one songwriter. They might be a dictator.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody has to go off that, like, perfectly in their mind.
Yeah, and you have, like, fucking Billy Corgan fucking losing his mind for the past 15 years. Like, dude, you had fucking talented musicians in your band. And then he finally fucking figured it out, though, on his last tour. He's one of the original members of Smashing Pumpkins. It's pretty fucking cool. So, you know what? Have a democracy in your fucking
band. That's what I was about to say. Mm-hmm. It's very democratic. Yes. And that's perfect. Mm-hmm. That's the way it should be.
That's right.
And, I really want to ask this question.
What's up?
Because I know you played a ton.
Yeah.
What, in your opinion, is the best show that you ever played?
Best show I ever played is probably one I don't remember.
How about in Floodlands?
In Floodlands? Well, we're a relatively new band, so I would say it was our first show because of that, where, you know, people seem excited to see us. They were curious about our band, and all I know is that we had been playing those songs for about a year and a half, and we were building up. We'd had setback after setback in the band. And playing that first show, it felt like, you know, we accomplished our goal by doing that. And I just had a blast playing. It was really cathartic to be able to get those songs off for people and for people to enjoy them. So I was have to say our first show.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
How many shows have you played?
We've only played 4.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, we've only played 4 shows. Yeah.
You're so good.
Thank
you. Was, like, the first show at Galaxy?
No, that was the second show. The first show was at Subterranea, Mr. Kevin Kober, hooking us up, you know?
He's always, like, hooking people up with their first shows.
Kevin Kober.
I fucking love Kevin.
Kevin Kober is fucking Binghamton. Kevin Kober is everything that's right with Binghamton. I love Kevin. I've known Kevin for a long time, ever since... Actually, you know how I got to know Kevin was, because I got expelled in 8th grade, I had to volunteer at the YMCA to make up credits for high school. and Kevin was there, and of course I said, oh, I'm into music, you know, I play guitar at that time, but I didn't have any bands or anything. And Kevin came up to me and said, oh, what do you listen to? And I'm like, oh, I like Tool and the Melvins and, you know, the Deftones. And all of a sudden he's like, dude, I fucking love that shit. I play in a band called The Satellite Crash. You should come and check us out sometime. I'm like, dude, you're fucking awesome. And I knew it was cool that he knew what I was talking about as a teenager. That was a big deal, because I was a fucking stoner kid in fucking high school, and nobody listened to the same shit I listened to, you know? So I went and saw Satellite Crash, and there's this little band that opened that show for another band called iFarm that was more well-known at the time.
Yeah, what are you talking about, iFarm? Like, I don't know about
iFarm. You know
iFarm.
You know what's up with iFarm.
Yeah, I know Arun. Mm-hmm. I'm like, talked to him quite a few times. And then he becomes Obama's videographer.
Which is fucking nuts, isn't it? It's fucking amazing.
He's awesome. Mm-hmm. I love him so much. And I love iFarm. Mm-hmm. Like, the best shows that I ever saw.
Oh, yeah.
I have, like, a split EP with them and fucking somebody else.
Well, they were everywhere then. I mean, back then, I mean, the first show I went to was, 1997, 98, you know?
Whoa, you were in there way before me.
Nah, it's not, I don't know
about
that.
It's not a contest.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's
funny.
No,
like, I hopped in when I was 16. You sound like you were, like, 14 or some shit.
Yeah, you know, I was just like, you know what? I'm like, you know what? I'm way cooler. I was into punk before all you motherfuckers.
Exactly.
You know, I love that fucking elitist shit. It's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, that's the deal. Yeah. That elitism actually pushed me away.
Yeah. Well, it does push you away. Exactly. Yeah. You don't want to fucking deal with those pricks. You know, they're like, oh, well, you know, you into this? Well, I'm into this, and you fucking suck because you're not in this band. And it's like, you know, that's fucking boring to me. I feel like elitists are the types of people who have absolutely no fucking talent and need the fucking guidebook to do anything. And it's really fucking boring to me. Like, I make sure, no matter who's into music, if you're into music, I'll have a conversation with you. Because to me, it's more interesting to find out what people who aren't elitists think about music, because it's way more organic, it's way more natural, and it's way more honest. So fuck elitists. So, you know what? I don't know why I say it in the scene. No, I'm kidding. Bingham's is fucking awesome.
No, as me and Tom are indicating, is that there were some negative vibes out there. Mm-hmm. But now it's like a million times better. This is a time to behold and savor.
Absolutely.
It's very good.
There's a lot of talent in this area. There's a lot of people. Well, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that you look at, you know, Olympia in the 90s, and it's a town, it's a college town, but it wasn't really a college town. You have a bunch of musicians who came from all these small towns, you know, outside of, you know, Olympia and that rural part of Washington. And there was nothing else for them to do except dive in and discover what they really cared about. And I think art is something that it's a very personal thing to dive into. I think that if you're constantly stimulated by everything around you, you don't really have the motivation or the opportunity to dive in and really discover what you want to do artistically. So I think, anyway, branching off of that right there, I think that's why that was such a great music scene, because there was nothing else to do. You know, you didn't have all these options like you do in New York City or Los Angeles. I think it's the same thing here. I think that, you know, there's not a ton here to do. In fact, there's more to do than people think. I love this area. I chose to be here because of that. But I think that it's really fruitful for bands to form and be artistically inclined and do original material, because there's not a whole lot else to do artistically other than that. And I'm really proud to be from here. There's a lot of people here that have been doing it forever, for decades. And I think those are the most passionate and the most important people in music, because they care about it without giving a shit what anybody else fucking thinks about it. And I have the utmost respect for them.
Hey, I got a good tangent, which is this episode will air in a few weeks from now. So I am definitely going to put whatever shows you and Floodlands have in the show notes, you know, in the description. But is there anything that you want to draw attention to, like recordings, albums, anything like that in the works?
Absolutely, I do. We are finishing up our EP called Sea of Saren. That's what we're going to be calling it. It will officially be out in September. It's only taking us a year to record 6 songs. You know, we're a very efficient band that way. So it will be finally coming out, and I'm really excited for you guys to hear it.
Yay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And yeah, I totally understand the process. Yeah. It's like, you want it to be right.
We're perfectionists. You know, it's never finished for us. You know, we'll basically put 8 million parts in a song. It's what we do. That's why it's good that we have people like Jim in the band to kind of keep us level-headed and head in the right direction.
Yeah, Jim is a big sweetie.
Mm-hmm. He's the nicest guy on earth.
He really is.
Gentle giant, you know.
Yeah, that's how best, I describe him.
He gives the best hugs, you know.
He is an amazing hugger. Mm-hmm.
He's the only, actually, that's the reason why I'm in the band. It's not music. It's just Jim gives the best hugs.
It's just the hugs. Yeah. And also,
it's all about the hugs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you guys are a great show to watch live. So please keep a lookout for Floodlands. Tom, thank you so much for being on Blow Jam.
Appreciate it, Dale. Yeah, it's my pleasure.
Oh, and hey guys, guess what? The album has dropped! You can get Sea of Saren digitally on Bandcamp, or get a hard copy in your fucking grubby hands when you go see them live. Thank you, Tom, so much for dropping by. Yo, if Tom's in a band, whether it's Floodlands or the Bro Bros, you gotta go see him. I demand it. Now, I asked them what song they want us to feature, and their choice pulls at my heartstrings. Plus, there's a really evil breakdown in there that makes me really happy. So let's go ahead, we will listen to their song, Led Astray.